Delicious number one talk station 99.3 Nigeria in 47 minutes past the hour. Welcome to the last 1 hour of the show. I'm Sherif Quadri. You can watch us live right now on Facebook and on YouTube. Just search for Nigeria Info 99.3 on those two platforms. That is Nigeria Info 99.3. Today, we're continuing with our road to 2023. Like I said, we'll be focusing on sector after sector as we go along. And this is just so you know the right questions and the right areas and the true picture of what is happening in these some of these sectors. So when these candidates, when they come to you, you know the questions, you know, to ask them. You're very upfront about what you want, that your demands, and you can know, you can tell when someone is giving you a lefo, you know, when someone is, you know, putting you on a scale, you know that the moment, because you need information to be able to discern when someone is trying to bobo you, let's put it that way. So that's our mission. That's what we've planned to do, to make sure that we bring experts in some of these fields, these areas, these sectors, you know, on the show, so that we all can be better informed. By the way, do you think that when we say stable electricity, do you think that it will forever remain a fantasy in Nigeria? With what you have seen, do you think that there are some form of cabal trying to hold down the prospect of Nigeria attaining energy sufficiency, or our efforts not being scaled up enough, you know, to put an end to power outages in the country, power shortage in the country? This is a daily occurrence right now. One moment is right there. The next moment is zero. It has crashed. This year alone, God knows how many times the grid has collapsed. This year alone. How much politicking do we have in that sector? And how has politicking affected, you know, sector called the power sector? Is it possible to even keep politics out of it? I have joining me on the show this morning to provide answers to all of these questions and also to look at the other areas that we need to focus on. Editor Edigbinle joins me on the show this morning. He's the Executive Director of Power Up Initiatives for Electricity Rights, Power Up NG for short. Power Up NG is an electricity consumer rights and policy advocacy organization. He's consumer rights advocate, power sector critic, and of course, an appointed fellow and consultant of the Abuja Chamber of Commerce and Industry. It's also a policy advocacy center appointed as well. Aditya Adegbimle, thank you so much for joining us on The Crossfire today.
Good morning, my brother. Good morning, Lagos.
It's good to have you here. And you know, anytime we have you, time is usually not our friend. So let's just get into it as quickly as possible. Politics and power. Can we separate these two?
No, that's the short answer. No, we cannot.
How was this two been able to work? If you cannot separate it, have we been able to manage the two together pretty well? Has it worked for us?
Now, one first thing that we must take into, I mean, it is obvious, especially now that we are in the electioneering period, it is very obvious that, the problems are there. Quite all right. People that were contesting will come and promise us heaven and earth. They will promise us things that they cannot do. They will promise us the ones that they can do. They will promise us, you know, right now, all those guys, all they care about as we speak right now is how they are going to get into power. That's all they care about. So they will tell you what they think you need to hear. We have problems all over. There is a newspaper report this morning about some communities in Mushin, right at the center of Lagos, that have not had power supply in 4 months. According to the report, they said they had light power supply last before Ilaya, you know. Basically, that kind of community, you promise them you give them light, most of them will probably jump at it. But then this is where we need to ask ourselves, yes, you can make your promises, but how do you plan to fulfill them? What are the building blocks that you are putting into place? Not minding also, don't forget that the people that are coming to contest are probably most likely not an expert in that field that they are speaking about.
True.
But they will tell you, oh, we can do it. I'm going to refer. We are in Lagos. So most definitely people in Lagos will know that there was somebody in that same Lagos that promised that, oh, any serious government will solve power supply in 6 months. It was so bad that we went live to be saying, oh, Shebi, you know those that are better pass my neighbor generator. Just put 1,000 of them together and you have 1,000 megawatt. Guess what? This same person was a minister for 4 years. We are still speaking about the same challenges that we are having before he got there. So it means that it is not about the promise. It is about the know-how. It is about commitment. It is about honesty. And it's about mission, finding purpose in what you do.
In order not to waste time, because we're really, really short of time, let's delve into those challenges in the health sector and the right questions that, the average voter should be asking these people when they come through. What are those challenges that exist in the health sector right now, the core challenges that exist?
If you ask me about health sector, Sheriff, I might not be able to speak too much about it. I would tell you about the general problem that we have in the health sector. But if you are talking about the power sector, then I can go into that. I don't know which one you want me to talk about.
No, apologies for that. Let's talk about that. We're talking power, right? What are those challenges in the power sector? Apologies for that.
No, it's okay. I understand that you're also in the mood. to be very, very frank and very honest, the whole sector, the whole ecosystem has challenges. And I've said this on this program before, and I'm going to repeat it again this morning. There is no solving the power sector challenges in isolation or solving Nigeria's problems. We don't have the aliens in the power sector. We have Nigerians with Nigerians' mentality, Nigerians' ways of doing things, Nigerians' foundation, expectations. You understand? Mm-hmm. So even if you put me, I've been speaking forever and I've been shouting where things are going to be done. So many times I sit down and ask myself, if there's somebody who said, okay, stop making noise, or you come and do it, will I be able to do it? Without solving Nigeria's problem, we have a bigger problem, which the power sector problem is just a microcosm of. The only idea where we keep pushing is that at least by the time the people that are ready to solve these problems are coming, they're not coming to start from scratch. They want to come to start from where we are. You understand? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to speak to this. For instance, first of all, let me start with ministry. We were talking with you and I was telling you about how we make our appointments.
Right.
We are talking about power sector reform, right? And a reform is not a conservative idea. A reform is a radical thing to do. So basically what we are saying is that by the time you are removing one building block and putting the other one, it's not necessarily going to be suitable for some people. That's why you are doing the reform in the first instance.
Right.
You are not appointing somebody to head such commission. You now put somebody that's from that same system that they want to preserve. How do you think that will work?
Basically the same mindset, basically the same people, the same mindset, set of people. So in effect, we've not done any reform if we keep recycling people that have been in the system.
The moment you put such a conservative person in the place, such a system person in that place of authority, what you have basically done is to cut your own hands. You know you're not going anywhere. It's going to be a rocking chair. You will be rocking quite all right. People that are watching at close, this thing that are watching will be seeing you moving. But by the time they zoom out, that's when they realize that you have not left the same spots. So we are talking about who is going to be our minister of power. Okay, let's assume that Minister of Power, don't forget, Minister of Power is not just an anybody person. He's a policy person, right? He's the person that drives the policy of the federal government. He's the person that says, we're going this way, we want to achieve this, we're going to do this, this is how we're going to do it. Next move. Then we'll give it to the foot soldiers to run. When that person already is coming in with no idea what to do, then you know there's a problem.
There's a problem. There's a problem.
Good. Then let's move. NEC, which is immediately after in the hierarchy of things in power sector. NEC, Regulatory Commission.
Yeah.
You decided to appoint somebody because he's from my region. Or because,
quota system.
No, don't let, I'm not into quota same thing. Forget about that quota same thing. It is a Nigerian thing issue.
Yeah.
But you have to appoint somebody because he's from my region, or because he's my brother, or because Sheriff is my friend and he has introduced
nepotism.
To me. No, you are still.
It's still not nepotism. Those, okay. All right. All right. Go on. Like go on. Go on.
It is like my former president that said, stealing is not corruption. People don't understand that thing. Till today, some people still argue it. Don't let us see. By the time you start putting all those big words, then I think we'll give, instead of us to focus on the argument, then you now start looking at nepotism as an issue on its own. But don't appoint somebody because my friend introduced him to me, or because I want to give back to somebody or something. What are his antecedents? What are his contribution to the power sector? What are his ideas? What has he brought to the table? Has he written books on it? You know, what kind of person is he? Can that kind of person come to the National Assembly? I mean, naturally, when you are doing some sort of appointment, you send the names to National Assembly for ratification. Okay, can that person come to the National Assembly and speak to his ideas? We know, see, the truth is that there is no Nigerian that you will call today that doesn't know what the problems are. But what are the solutions? Now, if you're able to, for instance, you want to appoint a CEO for a media organization like yours, right? It can be an engineer, it can be a medical doctor, but the person will have done some things, right? That says, I can do this, or these are my ideas, or these are the ways, the person might just be a pure businessman. What we need to do is appoint Sheriff that knows about media to be in charge of regulation so that you don't run foul of NBC, right? You will appoint a marketing person that has radical ideas and say, you know what, we're going to break into this industry. This is how we're going to make our money. These are the figures that we have on ground. You won't just pick somebody and say, because he's my friend, or because he's my wife's friend, or because he's my in-law's friend, or uncle's friend, and say, oh yeah, put him there, let him be head of marketing. What would the person do? Nothing. So we need people like that. We need that kind of mindset going to the power sector. That is regulation. So we need somebody that can say, okay, I'm a lawyer. These are my experiences, these are my exposure, and these are the ways I feel the power sector can be moved. And these are the body of work that I've put in before. Research work. There is a doctor, he's a lawyer, but he has done a very massive work in the power sector. His name is Dr. Odi, for instance. I mean, this doctor Odi is somebody that I can vouch for, right? To be NEC chairman, because of course he is part of people that are formulating regulation from outside while he's not in the system, but maybe because of his political affiliation, he doesn't have someone to speak for him, he doesn't have friends in the power, he might not get there.
So Taya, to be very clear, what you're saying is that we need people who understand the sector. We should put aside their political inclinations or their tribal inclinations. Absolutely. Or just putting people who understand. And we've not been able to do that. Is that what you're saying? That we haven't been able to do that?
No, we have not. We have not. I will refer to one of the arguments in the past, especially when it comes to NEC. There was a time when you hear all the engineers that balked when President Obasanjo asked for the power sector reform initially. They all went to there because they knew they were going to break into their monopoly of system, Nigerian system in the old NEPA. So instead for them to deliver what President Obasanjo needs for the power sector reform, all of them went mute, they revolted and everything. And the people that came in about to help Baba were majorly lawyers. They were the ones that were meeting with World Bank, they were meeting with the State Foundation, they had to go to the National Assembly to make sure that the laws are regulated and everything and passed into act. When they were going to appoint the first NEC chairman, he was a lawyer. Second one, a lawyer. Now, we kept having issues that we're having. And guess what? The engineering block said it is because they didn't allow an engineer, a past them engineer, to become next chairman. Now, we had an engineer in Engineer Momo. We've had a follow-up engineer in Engineer Sanusi. Has anything changed? So, we will continue to have that thing until we're able to put the right person into place. Reform-minded, bottom line.
Reform.
Radical reform-minded. That he's not there because somebody recommended him. So people can come and pay money to my account and I can overlook some things. Or when people are complaining, I will ignore it. That's not what we want. Now, you see, those are the building blocks of the power sector. Once we can get those right,
yeah.
I keep saying it.
Yeah.
Once we can get those two right.
The foundation.
Trust me, Nigerians are very law-abiding people. Especially when they know that the law will be upheld. Once a Nigerian knows that there is consequence or somebody is watching me, they fall into line. It is an established fact. So you see, generators, distribution, transmission that are doing anyhow right now, they are doing it because they know that there's no consequences to whatever they are doing. That's why they are doing it.
What do you mean by they are doing anyhow?
I'm going to use a report that was released this morning in the newspapers.
Okay.
The community in Mushin. Who does not know that consumers are the one fixing transformers by themselves?
Okay.
In this country.
Okay.
Who does not know that consumers are the one buying materials to fix their transformers by themselves? The only people that don't know are the hierarchies in the discourse. That's why a consumer will say, your office in Mushi ask us to contribute 10,000 naira so that we can buy cables. This one came up with this thing when they were protesting. And the head of communication in the Codisco lied publicly and said, nobody will ask you to bring money. I'm going to say this again. The discos are businessmen. They will do anything to, their own is for their money to be complete. Once they can make profits, either your own money or their own, just make the profits. They are capitalists. Their own is to make money to their pockets. Bottom line, there is no go home about it. Once they can do that, any other thing can go to. And if they find a way to circumvent the law, they will do it. So, NEC that says that consumers are not supposed to pay for investment into DISCO's business.
Right.
Same NEC knows that Nigerians are the ones buying transformers, repairing transformers, donating by force. Because when you buy a transformer, if you don't have light and your DISCO is not willing or has not done anything to prove that they want to fix your light or buy you a transformer, or they tell you they don't have money, then they will fudra. Then you, consumers, will now say, somebody will now whisper from the office and say, buy the transformer. You buy the transformer. They will now say, go and write that you are donating the transformer to the DISCO.
Oh.
I'm not saying anything. I'm sure when the lines are open, I am expecting Nigerians to speak to their experience. Don't collaborate with what I just said. Just speak to your experience in your neighborhood. That is what they do. And let me tell you the worst part. They will not tell you that it must pay also.
Tyre, hold on. Let's take this break and we'll continue in a moment. We're back on the crossfire. We're talking road to 2023, the power sector conversation. And Adetayo Adegbenle of PowerUp NG is on the show with us this morning. And we've been discussing on some of the issues ravaging the power sector and what our next step will now be to discuss those questions that you should ask your candidates when they come through to ask for your vote. We started with, you know, the problem of appointment and right appointment being made in that sector being the foundational problem that we've been having in that sector. And according to Adetayo, there's not been sincerity or purpose in making appointments for someone to go and work in that sector. It must be someone who had done or has done or is doing, you know, something currently about the sector. But what we've had thus far has just been patronage upon patronage, people trying to just pay back what they've owed people by appointing them as power minister, by appointing them as head of regulatory agencies and the rest of them. Adetayo, thank you again for joining us. Let's move on straight now. Campaign has started. What are those questions that voters need to begin to ask these candidates when they come through? You can highlight them one after the other.
Are you there?
Yes, Adetayo. I said, what are those questions that voters need to ask?
Now, number one, who is on your team? That is the number one. Who is on your team? Who is going to work with you? Who are those that we know with you that are going to work with you? And what do they bring to the table? Number two is, and I think this one is general, the campaigns are already out. Some people are already out with their campaign policy documents. I don't know if I'm allowed to mention names, but I know of one or two candidates that have released their policy documents. I mean, this is a document that we can easily read through, okay, and infer how they intend to approach the issue when and if they eventually get to power. We have that, or we have one or two people doing that already. There are others too that are also contesting that they said this is not important. And I will also refer us to the recent experience that we had in the run-up to 2015 elections. This present government, you know, had a very brilliant document. We are going to do 10,000 in the first 1 year. We'll do 10,000 for the next 4 years. Mm-hmm. So by the end of this administration, we should have been having a minimum of 40,000 megawatts in the grid. Mm-hmm. But we all know how that turns out today. Mm-hmm.
Having policy documents is not enough. That's essentially what you're saying.
The policy document is a number one indicator, right?
Yeah.
It is. I mean, like, for instance, I don't think Peter Obi or Tinubu or Atiku, I don't think any one of them are experts in the power sector. But by the time you look at the policy document that they put out, then you have an idea of who is behind the policy document. You have an idea of how they plan, you know, to probably implement the policy when it comes live, right? That is one. Then it is that way you have that document that you now be able to interrogate. Is this thing doable? When this present government told us that they wanted to give us 10,000 megawatts every year for the first four years, and they will grow it from there. The first question that people like us were asking then was how? How?
Abacadabra.
What are the... You understand? Why do you put one building block on the other to get where you are? Has it been done anywhere in the world before? Is it doable? You know? So it's not just that somebody promised us. And I'm going to say this at this junction that I think we need to take, you know, our electioneering a bit more serious. Nigerians are not necessarily, I don't know, I'm not seeing any form of seriousness, that vibe in Nigerians. Mm. I'm sorry, I've not seen it. Mm. And I'm looking for it, honestly. There are a lot of things that we should take serious.
I mean, you mentioned something now, which actually made me to want to ask you my follow-up question to that, because I still want us to go even further as to those things that, you know, people should watch out for. You mentioned them 10,000 megawatt per year, the promise made by the APC government back in 2015, and you're saying that it's not realistic. What are those promises that you think are realistic, that when the electorate here, these people say these sort of things, then maybe it's realistic? 10,000 megawatts is still unrealistic, correct?
You see, the thing about now, that's, if you are going to that part where I said I don't want to discuss, I'm not their spokesperson. I know as much as what every Nigerians also know. Now, the promises they made, they had to abandon their policy document along the line. Everything was just...
No, I'm not. Adetayo, I'm not even talking about APC now. I'm talking about generally. If a politician comes and says, I'm promising you so megawatts, what are those megawatts that can be realistic and those that are not realistic?
Sheriff, I'm going there. That's exactly where I'm going to. But I want to use this... what we have as evidence now, that is what we have, this one on ground.
Okay.
We've had this problem and it has failed. That's what I'm using as reference.
Okay.
When they abandoned the policy documents, when they abandoned the promises and everything, we did not come around to tell us that they want to bring in Siemens. You know?
Yeah.
And that's again, the deal. With Siemens, again, they made lots of promises. In 2 years, we'll get to this. In 3 years, we'll get to this. By 2023, we'll get to this. But guess what? By the time you talk tomorrow, they will tell you, initially it was COVID that derailed the plan. Then after COVID derailed the plan, then you now had, Ukraine war derailing the plan. I don't know. I don't know if you are feeling me yet. So they will make all these promises. But we need to be able to look at what are the realistic goals. Mm. Number one, there is not just making promises that is our problem. It is somebody that is speaking to the challenges that we have on ground. And what are the challenges? Number one, who are the ones that you are appointing into position?
Appointment first.
To carry out what you want to carry out. Who are they? What are their ideas? Are they also people that have dreams that think that we can jump from without solving the immediate problem that we have on hand? I'm going to give you one on the ground example.
Okay.
In the Northeast, Yola Disco was recently privatized. When I say recently, I mean they are the youngest one. They just took over in December, January this year. Okay. Hmm. And if I tell you that these people cannot enter into Maiduguri, Kano State, a whole state, because of insecurity, one, two, the national grid. We only have 33 kV that entered into Maiduguri. I'm sorry, 330 majorly that entered into Maiduguri. It is recently now that I'm hearing from the grapevine that, you know, they are trying to get TCN, you know, they're trying to get TCN to construct, you know, feeder lines into Maiduguri. They have not concluded. It is ongoing. So we are saying, what are your plans, basically? We are saying, how do you hope? What are the problems that we have on ground as we speak? And what are your approach to them? So don't tell me that you went to Egypt or you went to South Korea to do what? The problems that they have in Egypt, is this a problem that we have here? Don't they have advanced transmission line? The model that they run in India is the model that we run here. How do you just oppose the two?
Taya, can you still hear me? Are you still with me? Oh, I think we are having connection with connection issues with Taya there. But while we wait for Taya to get back online, let's open up the phone lines. And let me hear you say that you understood what Taya has said, or you didn't understand, you know, what he has said, you know, thus far, and those questions on your mind as well as it would be electorate, because power is everything. I mean, power is the energy behind any economy, any country's, any nation's economy. That's why this is quite important for us to talk about. 0700-993-993-993 and 01465-7190 for the ladies to call. 8:48 time. Our time is even fast spent. Good morning to you.
Yeah, hello, Sheriff. This is Alex. How are you?
Welcome, Alex. Welcome.
Yeah, good. See, this guy has spoken a lot that, you know, he's like spoken my mind a lot on many of the things that he has said. Very brilliant guy. I like his submissions, you know. I like the fact that he talks a lot about competence in that particular area. What are you doing now? Or what are you, what have you done in the recent past? Or even in the distant past? Let's even hear from these people.
Like,
you see, I'm not against hiring politicians, okay? Mm-hmm. But politics should be secondary. Your competence must come first. I don't even mind that, you see, the next power minister should come from another country. Open up the gates. You understand? Recruit the next power minister from another country altogether. Let them come and put
their... Let's just fix this once and for all. I said, let's just fix this once and for all.
Let's get it done once and for all. Another thing I would like to say is that, you see, he mentioned some beautiful suggestions about the person should have this kind of vision, this and that and that. But let me tell you, personal visions, that's why I worry about NDLEA. Personal visions don't really do much for a country. I would recommend that we have something like a council of, you know, economic advisors made up of citizens, ordinary citizens, not necessarily politicians, who will make these decisions and document them like a gazette. Document them like a document that the you know, ministers will use. I'm saying ministers of various departments.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
That's how you grow a country, develop, not by personal visions. If the man goes, what happens? If Mara leaves there, what happens to us again?
Thank you, Alex. Well said. Well said. Thank you for sharing your thought. Nigeria, Ingfor, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, Sheriff. My name is I'm Engineer Goodtalk, calling from Ekpe in Lagos State.
You're welcome, sir.
Yeah, see, the problem of this power sector, honestly speaking, the question you asked that guy, that is it doable? Actually, it is doable. The only problem is that our political appointments, or maybe bringing person to man some certain offices, is just about compensation. We're not actually bringing in people that are competent. That's the problem of this
competence.
Country.
Competence.
If we look around, we have people that are competent.
Right.
Do you know that Nigeria is so lucky and so blessed that we are placed along the equator where the sun rises above our
Just imagine that.
7 hours of sunlight.
Just imagine that.
Every day. And we are not going into solar. Countries that are making noise about power generation, they are all of them. Nigeria doesn't even have one single solar power farm. What is wrong with this country?
Okay.
We're only looking at one side of power generation. Have you considered solar?
Engineer, thank you. Thank you for sharing. We're going to speak with Ibe. Tayo is back on the line with us, but let's speak with Ibe. Ibe has been on the line. Ibe, hi. Morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Sheriff.
Morning to you.
Yeah, I want to commend your guest this morning. He has made so many points, but I quite disagree with what he said about people going to Egypt or other countries to, you know, see what they are doing.
Okay.
You know, sometimes it makes a great impact. I remember when Malaysia came to Nigeria, you know, to copy our palm trees and all that. But Malaysia is the highest exporter of red oil and all that. So there's nothing wrong with people going to. The most important thing is that what you go out there to copy, try to, you know, implement it. When you implement it, you see that it will bring out a result.
Right. Right. Thank you, too, for calling. Aditya, you are back. We, like I said, anytime I discuss power with you, we barely have time, you know, to go deeper as much as we would have loved to. You've talked about competence that, you know, we should ask who are the people working with you. You talked about, you know, policy document, that they should have a policy document and follow up on it as well. What are the other questions that you feel people can ask? I have about 2 minutes for us to deal with this. Aditya, can you hear me now? Oh no, the network is fluctuating. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Yes.
I was asking, what are those other questions in like less than 2 minutes that people should ask when these guys come through from the initial, you know, who is working with you and the policy document question.
You know, like I said recently, Nigerians should also learn to be very selfish. What's in it for me? The politicians are not contesting because they love. The politicians are not contesting because that's the truth. I don't want, none of them wants to become president because you are special. Not because, I mean, not even because of their children. They are there because of themselves. They see themselves as gods. They see themselves as somebody that is different. So when you are asking your questions, ask yourself, what is in it for me? If this man becomes president, will his time, will it be better for us as a people? Will it be better for me as a person? Then when they come to you, ask, see, that's what I say. And don't also forget that the foundation of any serious economy in the world is independence, energy independence, for instance. We are energy poor. That's why we're a poor country.
No, are you with me? No doubt about that. No, I mean, no doubt. We're energy poor, definitely. Definitely. Aditya,
we are energy poor.
I am afraid we have to leave it here this morning. Like I said, we don't always have enough time. Thank you so much, Aditya Adegbemile of Power Up. How can people find you on social media for further engagement? I think I should have Twitter space with you one of these days, Aditya, so we can thoroughly have enough time to try this that out.
That would be perfect.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining me today, Aditya Adegbemile of Power Up NG. It's always interesting when I talk power with you. It's never enough time to discuss this. Lagos, let's leave it here. As much we can take on the road to 2023, the power sector, that's our focus today. Tomorrow, we'll look at another area towards our journey onto road to 2023. I'm Sheriff Quadri. Bye for now.
You are listening to your number one station for talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info.
99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.